Umala Jupa doesn't enter into the Uma. You could always say Tama Drup, right? Umala Jupa does enter into Uma. Sure.
And there's in two ways, through the widespread teachings and the profound view.
He said it enters in two ways, through the wide, far-reaching teachings and through the profound side of teachings. No, it doesn't, because it doesn't enter the middle way through the profound side of the teachings. Oh, so it does enter the middle way through the profound side of the teachings.
Yeah.
There's the eight ways.
Eight ways of what?
Eight ways in which the highest view is from the lower three and a half schools.
Yeah, you can say that. Distinctive characteristics of the... They're called distinctive and unique. So what's the difference? I don't know yet, but... Unique to the Prasangika, and?
And also, it differentiates why it's not mind-only.
Right. Okay. Who did that, Eric? Right? Jackie?
And Douglas.
It's almost better than Mercedes. I'll start a fight. Okay.
Take off.
You need a judge. Okay. Now, I think what's confusing a little bit for me is he's gone off into the first one, which is why there are eight unique characteristics to Prasangika. Okay? Unique to Prasangika. And the first part of that is that there are ideas that appear in Uma Tenche, which is what? What's the classical commentary on the middle way? The city is New York, right? The classical commentary on the middle way is. Yeah, Aryanagarjuna's book. We don't have to say that, right? Notice I didn't put quotation marks. I didn't put italics. It was like, everybody knows. The city. It's Bui. Okay. And in this one, you would think that it was, he'd gone on to his second thing of how he's different from mind only, but it's not. We're fighting with the mind only because we have taken a position that things have no nature of their own, which automatically graduates to like Prasangika. It's not just how it differs from mind only anymore, okay? Okay. Okay. Oh, let's read together. You ready? We were going to have Tibetan letters today, but they got caught in the Diamond Mountain epidemic. So. No way, they had their own. Okay. Say, Dayang? Dayang? Yin Day? Jalpale. Lugdini? Oh, you're supposed to do it. Let's do it together. One, two, three. Dayang? Yin Day? Jalpale. Let's go slower. Let's start again. We'll go slow, okay? One, two, nine, three. Te yang yin te del pa le luk di ni tu mo min pa wo she ke pa na ki nge pa cha o. Okay. She. Dam. You okay? Something fall out?
Not the battery.
Not the battery?
You do cook your food.
Probably not.
I think there's a misspelling here, so I'm going to check. I think it comes in Gombodob Salsa. Here's the same quotation in Gombarabsa. We already worked on it. We already translated it, okay? And let's just steal it. The reason I brought it up is that this one seemed to be misspelled. Right here. Kepanam ki. Okay. We're going to start learning some words, okay? And I'll teach you some grammar. Venerable Phil gave us a good text. It's a nice text by, huh? Oh, next time. It's a, maybe we'll start it next time. It's by Yangchen Dupe Dorje. Say Yangchen Dupe Dorje. He's a student of Quicksilver. Mulchu Dhammabhadra, who wrote several extraordinary commentaries on Vajrayogini, and one of them was the main one that we used during three-year retreat, and we worked on it. Eli La worked on it for 3 years or something, and it's this huge manuscript now. But we went through the whole thing with the three-year retreatants for like 3 years before three-year retreat in all sorts of weird places like Kathmandu and Flagstaff, and but we finished it like a few days before three-year retreat, right? We were still in the tents or something. We didn't do the tormas, we didn't do the last five pages or something. But anyway, he had a, I think he's a former life of Pabon Khorbachi, and he's just wonderful. I love his works, you know. But he did a, his disciple is Yangchen Drupa Dorje, and he was a great grammarian. And so we often study this grammar text by his student, Yangchen Drupa Dorje. Yangchen Drupa Dorje also did a great commentary on Vajrayogini called Drum Song of the Gods. And Christy Lass translated all of it or not? I don't know. Most of it? 90% of it. And when we get to Vajrayogini practice, you'll be using those two commentaries. So anyway, we'll go through that grammar text. We'll start through it next time. But I'm not too big on grammar like by the book. I like you to learn grammar by just doing it, you know. But I think both are healthy. I think it's good to know some formal grammar. Like when I got to Howell, Rinpoche made me do a grammar text. And it was healthy. It was good. We had to memorize the text that we were talking about. But again, you can either study grammar out of a book or somebody just learn, you know, just somebody yelling at you. Don't do that, you know, do this. And then it's like studying yoga from a book or having somebody do corrections on you. And it's more comfortable to study out of a book, but it's better to have someone do corrections on you. So anyway, what does day mean? Yeah, that, okay. Okay, I'm just going to do a few days, okay? Yin. You know that, like when we're debating and you say, yinbeiche. What do you say to yinbeiche if you don't agree? Tamadu. Okay. But what do you say if you do agree? Yinbeiche. You just match the verb. You just say yin. If he said yinbeiche and you agree, you say? Yeah. Okay. That's all. You just repeat back. Do comes after a tau, we'll talk about it. Okay. Yinte. Te means because. There's a colon. Okay. Yin te. Okay. Yin te. You gotta learn some words, okay? And say dalpa. It's related to doma. It means to untie something. And it's a word for commentary. Okay? So you're gonna hear dalpa over and over again. Okay? Those are things to learn. We learned Luke with Rang Luke. What was Rang Luke? My way. So Luke means system. System. Without the sa, it means a sheep. So be careful. Okay. What's kepa? You're studying a book by K. Drupa Dorje. He's kepa and he's drupa. That's why he's called K. Drupa. That's why K. Drupa is called K. Drupa. Kippa. Kippa means like a wise man or a scholar. Okay, it's almost like a scholar more than a wise man, sometimes. Okay. Kepa Namki Nyepacho. You should know Dong. Dong means hand. Okay, Dong. Okay, all right, here we go. We just stole this, right? Yeah. Now he calls it commentary, so I don't know. Anyway. Okay. I just want to see if this appears in the other. Yeah, you see, if you remember what you've done before, you can just cheat and take it from your other commentary. Okay. Okay, let's read this one together. These are all just proofs of why entering the middle way enters into the book on the classical commentary on the middle way by through 8 unique characteristics or something like that. Okay, and then he's just quoting somebody and it's kind of boring. Okay, but anyway, let's do this together. Okay, on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Chi ta u me ten che le ma tok pa ten che shen le tong pa ni che cha we chen di chin chi ma lo pa mi je pa te shin du ko wo cha ki dir jun wei lu kang shi gal len dang che te nye pe Lung di ne jun wa de yang tong pa ni ki che ta ten che shen na me do she ke pa nam ki nge pa ze, du, su, she, su, be, she. Okay. Did we do that one before? I don't think so. Let me see. Yeah, we haven't done that one before. This is a long, dry quotation from the Sanskrit. Okay. Let's read some things. What is this one here? Read these four words on the count of three in English. One, two, three. The classical commentary on the middle way. My Greek teacher made us do that, and it was like ridiculous. We didn't know what he wanted. You know, and then it works. It's really weird, you know. So, yeah, this is the classical commentary in the Middle Way. What's that? Nagarjuna's work. Root text and wisdom, right? Let's do these two phrases, two syllables in English. One, two, three. Classical commentary. Okay. Let's do the next two syllables here. One, two, three. Emptiness. Okay. We'll do this one and do it in Tibetan and do it in English. Just this one word. One, two, three. Loop system. Okay. How about this one? One, two, three. Loop system. Okay. How about this one in Tibetan and in English? One, two, three. Tong ba ni. Emptiness. Okay. How about this one? One syllable. One, two, three. Ch dharma. Okay. How about this one? One, two, three. Den ch. Classical commentary. Two syllables. One, two, three. K ba. Wise man. Or woman. Okay. Okay. Because, yeah, because blah, blah, blah. Whatever came before. Okay, because blah, blah. Okay, here it goes. I'm going to split it because it's so long. Okay. Okay, we'll try. Is it this? Yeah. And then I have to go find Indra.
It's called Indra.
This one here? Yeah. Cool. Okay. I didn't know how to do that. Okay. Do it again. How do you say, I want to say wise men. He's going to say, I would hope that wise men could perceive this fact. You know, that just as Aryanagarjuna's book contained things that other people didn't get, well, so does my commentary on his book contain things that the other commentaries didn't get. You see, he's trying to draw a parallel between him and himself and Aryanagarjuna. Our, both of our books contain things that other people didn't get in their commentaries. But I don't want to say wise people sounds corny. What do you want to say? True sages? The wise? How do you want to say? What did you think?
Discerning readers, but maybe.
Well, a lot of times in ancient times they were listeners, so you got to be careful of the readers.
What about the wise?
You like the wise?
Yeah. Those
who know. Those in the know?
About wisdom.
Is that?
What's wrong with people or persons?
Wise people? People?
How about the
wise?
Okay. This is something that we would hope that the wise. What did I use up here?
Is it changing the meaning? Sages and true sages.
I kind of like. Do you like true sages?
What about those
It's an usually connotation of like almost scholars, as opposed to wise men necessarily. Scholar sounds so dry sometimes. There's a word for that. You see, that's something you have to know. You know, where there's an already an existing Tibetan word for that. That's just something you know after 20 years. It's called Yunden Chen, you see. Let's say the wise. This is something that we hope that the wise... This is something we hope that the wise will perceive. Or something like that? Is that okay? This is something we hope. I like to make it a short, yeah. This is something we hope the wise will perceive. About my book. Like, smart people will probably figure out that my book is as different from other books as Aryanagarjuna's book was from other books. Is that okay? Okay.
I think Ted was asking, why do you say we instead of I?
I don't know. It just sounds... he does use the royal we later somewhere.
Okay.
This is this chak. For those of you who care, Doc Chak or Kol Chak, which is pretty rare, is always almost the royal we. Or sometimes the... friendly we, you know, like Kyabje Pabong Rinpoche will use it when he wants to say all of us who have mental afflictions. You see what I mean? Like trying to include himself with us, you know, just to be friendly. Not that, so that's chak. It's not very common, but it's always plural. And it can get into the royal we a little bit. Okay. Anyway, why would that prove what Kedup Dimbadagi was trying to say? What was Kedup Dimbadagi trying to prove? We started the class that way.
He's trying to prove that his book enters the middle way through these two different ways.
Yeah, by being unique, which means compared to other schools and compared to other texts. Okay? That's all. So if Master Chandrakirti himself says, you know, I hope people figure out that my book is unique, then that would prove that he felt the function of his book was to enter the middle way, showing some kind of unique quality. Okay? That's all. Okay? So he's trying to prove that. We finished then... No, I hope they'll come to grasp that my book is as distinct from other books as Aryanagarjuna's book was distinct from other books. That didn't explain emptiness right. Ngepa means more perceived. Yeah. Just a verb he used. Okay, ready? Here we go. We'll do it slowly together. One, two, three. Tsa she gong ba sem tsam tu del tu mi rung wa la nge pa tem po nye pe go ne ju tsu ye de. He's trying to prove something. Ye de. Say ye de. It is so true. Okay. What? We don't know yet. Okay. In Tibetan and in English. One, two, three. Tsa she, the root text on wisdom. Okay. Two syllables. One, two, three. Sem tsa, mind only school. One syllable. Nda, commentary. Because it drulmas. You see, same root. Okay, don't mean when I have a time when you're going to. One, just one syllable. One, two, three. Nju. To enter. Okay. In the monastery, if you're studying Madhyamika, you say, I'm studying Jukpa. What does that mean? Yeah, avatara. What are you studying? Avatara. And then everybody knows it's entering in the middle way. Okay? So what if you're studying Bodhicharya avatara? You say, I'm studying Chinju. You say, so what are you studying? Jukpa. I'm memorizing Jukpa nowadays. Entering. Then everybody knows, oh, entering the middle way. And then if you say, I'm studying Bodhicharya avatara, you say, I'm studying Chinjuk. Say Chinjuk. Which is Charya avatara. You see what I mean? And it's just nicknames for the books, for the major books. If I'm studying Gen, what's that mean? The ornament. Which is what? Yeah, Abhisalam Alaka. Ngunto Gen. So what are you studying? I mean, you spent 12 years on Gen. 50 pages. 12 years, you know. What are you studying? Gen. You don't have to say, oh, I'm studying Ngunto Gen, you know. Everybody knows what Gen you're on for the last 12 years. You know? Okay. Okay. And those of you who know and care, this is spelled wrong, right? For on purpose. It should be S-H-E-S. Shit up. And it just got to be, the word is so common, it's like, what do ya want? You know? It's not what do you want anymore, it's just what ya. Okay? And there's a tsashe, you know? Okay, tsashe gomba. Oops. Somebody told me today, I heard this rumor a couple of times, but somebody told me again today, that there's been found in the Patala Palace the Sanskrit for entering the middle way, which has been missing all these years. And then somebody also said that it has been taken to Beijing now, and they still are not showing it to anybody. It'd be nice to get, but anyway. And there's also a way in which entering the middle way... Okay, so that means everything else that came before, All those proofs and quotations that came before were proving what? Yeah, that there were eight distinguishing characteristics that distinguish our ideas from the other three and a half schools. Now, only now he got to proving the second half, which is, it is true that entering the middle way enters into the root text on wisdom by describing how it can't be described as middle way. Mind only. Sorry. Okay. We have been?
It looks like we
have. Yeah. That's okay. We should be. Is it? Oh, it is. It is. You can't see it because of the thing. Okay. No, it's fine. This is kind of cool. Okay, ready to read? We'll go slow. 1, 2, 3. Ran ki sen ni ki tu bei gyu shen le ran ki sen ni ki tu bei de bu shen ge wei Shen ge ji da ke ba du sem sam pe de pa je ne de le pa kak pe go ne. Is there any way to raise that up to the top of the thing? Because some people can't see, right? You're having trouble seeing, right? Just like tilt up the front legs a little bit or something. Yeah, like that. Yeah, I don't. You guys figure it out. Okay. This is going to be cool, okay? It's a little hard. Do things that function, say, or let's say trees, okay? Do trees grow?
Yes.
Say yin.
Yes.
Okay. Do they grow from themselves? I'll just put it in Tibetan. They grow from themselves. Rangne ke pecher. You say tamadu. Of course they don't grow from themselves. Oh, shenne kya tha. Oh, so they must grow from something other than themselves. No, I said tha. Yinba tha. So you either get du or chichir. You got two choices. Du is right. Chichir is why so. Also, they don't grow from something other than themselves.
Yeah.
So what do they grow from? So there must be trees everywhere. No, because they don't need anything to grow from. That's what Master Kamalashina would say. Just suddenly all the trees in the world pop up everywhere. The hair grows back on my head. No, it doesn't need a cause. Yeah. Anyway, of course they grow from something else, right? Something other than themselves, which is what?
Seed.
Right. So why does he say that entering the middle way enters into the root text on wisdom by refuting, quite successfully, the idea that something could grow from something else? But then he goes on to explain it. The idea of the result that existed by definition could grow from something, a cause that existed by definition. That's what growing from something else means to Master Chanakirti. So then you have to say that things don't grow from something else, and Venerable feels right. Okay? Right? Okay? Now what does by definition mean?
From its own side, self-existently.
Yeah, all those things are synonyms in Prasangika. Not necessarily in the lower schools. What is an easy example of something that exists by definition, say with fire? I mean, by definition, fire is hot. I mean, come on, what's the definition of fire? In Tibetan. Sashin Sepa, Meitseni Yimbeichir. Hot and burning is the definition of fire. I mean, that's how you know you have a fire, right? It's hot. Okay? So by definition, that's what by Rangkitseni Ki. Say, Rangkitseni Ki. Rangkitseni Ki. By definition, fire is hot. Are you telling me that fire is not hot by itself? Do it right. Nice. Good. Yeah, exactly. It takes people who have been through the Bokjimba to really get that. You know? Okay? You're telling me a car doesn't run on gas? Do. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, by definition, a car runs on gas, right? I mean, except for certain cars. Right? By definition, that's what cars run on, right? I mean, since I was a kid, that's... No, and then we have to say, no, there is no by definition. Okay? That's all. Okay?
It doesn't mean, like, the actual definition. Like, the first example you gave of fire is, by definition, hot, because the definition of fire is something which is hot.
Well, you see, in English, the word by definition, if you think about it, means according to its very definition. And it's the same in Tibetan and Sanskrit, so it's very useful. It's nice. Tseni in Tibetan means definition. Lakshana in Sanskrit, which I believe is the corresponding Sanskrit here, is Swalakshana, means by its own definition. So the very definition of fire is something that's hot and burns you.
Yeah.
You can debate the definition of car. I mean, the definition of car is probably something like a four-wheeled vehicle that gets you somewhere or something. But let's leave that. But fire, it's clear. By definition, in English, does mean, conveniently, the same that it means in Sanskrit and Tibetan. If you took the very definition of fire, that would describe that object automatically. It should automatically have that quality. So by definition, fire is hot. Meaning, if you looked it up in Webster's, it would fit that definition in Webster's. So the word by definition is conveniently correct, parallel to the Sanskrit and the Tibetan by definition. Meaning, by what everyone agrees is its most definitive characteristics, the characteristics which define it. Okay? Anyway...
Eh.
Quite successfully. Quite feeling. And it. Okay, so what's he trying to prove at this point? No, I mean in general. He's trying to prove something about the... He's trying to prove that Chandrakirti's book enters into the middle way by beating the mind-only school. So he says, look, it's true that it enters into the middle way by refuting the mind-only school, because it goes about proving that things can't come from other things. After having expressed the wrong idea of the mind-only school on this point. Okay? All right? Okay? That's why you got this second part of the sentence here. Got it? I'll say it again. At this point, we're trying to prove that Chandrakirti had to write his book about Ayanagarjuna's book in order to beat the mind-only school. So he says, prove it to me that Chandrakirti wrote his book to prove that Ayanagarjuna was, prove to me that Master Chandrakirti in his book is showing how Master Nagarjuna can't be taken as mind only. And he says, well, he refutes the idea that things could come from something else. So somebody says, what's that got to do with mind only? But first he explains how mind only thinks that they do come from something else. Get it? By definition. Got it? I'll say it again, one last time. We're at this point, we're trying to prove that essentially Master Chandrakirti is trying to clarify Aryanagarjuna by proving that he's not mind only. Okay? So somebody says, prove to me that's true. He says, well, because Master Chandrakirti goes to great lengths to fight the idea that something could come from something else. What's that got to do with mind only? Oh, because the mind only believes that. That they do come from something else, definitively, automatically, in and of themselves. Okay, got it? So it's true that Master Chandrakirti is attacking the mind only. Why? Because he attacks that things could come from something else. What's that got to do with it? Oh, well, because the mind only believes that things do come from something else by definition. Okay, like watermelons only come from watermelon seeds. What, do you think they come from something else? No, watermelon seeds have some kind of unique, intrinsic, you know, their own watermelonness. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
You don't go out and plant a corn seed to get a watermelon. You go out and plant a watermelon seed to get a watermelon. So there must be watermelonness in that seed, intrinsically. And we say,
no.
Are you saying you could take a corn seed and grow a watermelon out of it? Are you saying you can run a car without petrol or walk on water or turn water into wine? You see? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You got it. You telling me everybody could get rich? Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Money don't come from itself. Money comes from the minds of all people. If everybody was equally generous, then fusion would be invented tomorrow. You know? Or if everyone were equally open and communicating, then in 2 years, the world would be connected by some kind of electronic web. In our lifetime, suddenly, anyone can email anybody. That's a miracle. No, that's a total miracle. It hasn't happened for 15,000 years. In your lifetime, while we were in three-year retreat, some dumb thing, anyone could talk to anybody. That's the same thing, you see? No, that's not possible. Yeah, it happened. Your karma made it. You know, somehow we were all... You should, like, go home and pat yourself on the back. I was so open and communicating with other people. I help people communicate with each other. And now, suddenly, I can email anybody. And any idiot could pop up some crap on my computer. You know? You know? No, I mean... You know, you can find out what the temperature is in Booga Wooga, you know, yesterday at 3 p.m., anything, you know? No, really, that's a karma. Has just suddenly a very powerful karma that didn't exist for 15,000 years. Like, you guys don't appreciate this stuff. You just thought that's normal, you know? So, yeah, even the fact that a watermelon comes from a watermelon seed ain't automatic. We are imputing that. And then mind only says, no way, no way. That's what Master Chandrakirti has to write a book to explain why that's not true, that watermelon seeds come automatically from... Sorry, watermelons come automatically from watermelon seeds. Got it? Okay. We're only halfway through the sentence, by the way. You're right. Good. Well... I'm going to put the English because I'll forget, and then we'll do the Tibetan. Okay. Let's go back up here. 1, 2, 3. Ming De Sha Tsam La Gyun De Ki Nam Sha Te Pa Tem Pe Go Ne Tsa She Dun Del Wa La Ju Be She. Okay. Say Ming De Shak Tam. Ming De Shak Tam. Should be a mantra. If there's any mantra at Diamond Mountain, this should be it. Say Ming De Shak Tam. Things are established only by terms and projections. Okay. Words and ideas create everything. Everything is Mingde Shaktam. That's Prasangika. That's the ultimate position of the ultimate school. How do things exist? You just say Mingde Shaktam. Nothing more than your projections. Nothing more. Tsam means just that. Okay? And Mingde, Mingda. Okay? Words. And pictures, really, okay? Like watermelon. Is watermelon a word or a picture? You see, at some point they cross. And the Yoga Sutra is very big on that, really big on that. Itaradesha, what's it? Shabdartha. Itaradesha. You know, we'll get into it in New York, but the Yoga Sutra is big on that. You know, we confuse things and their names. We confuse our idea of something with the thing. Yeah. So we got three things so far. The real watermelon, the name watermelon, and the idea watermelon. Which came first? In Arche, where's how's it go? In Arche, Hen Halogos. In the beginning was the word, right? It's a very big thing. Yeah, the word watermelon came first. And then later on, the watermelon came. Are you kidding me? No, first you got this green round thing, and then you walk around and people say, what do you want to call that? I say, I don't know. Let's eat it first. And they smell it. It's all watery. It's called a watermelon. Yeah, okay, everybody call it a watermelon, you know. I mean, you think that, right? Caveman number 43 called it a watermelon. First there was a green bumpy thing, then they slobbered it up, and then somebody said, you know, this is a watermelon, you know. But it's not like that. Watermelon came, the idea came first, the picture came first. Is there a difference between the word and the picture? Not really. Okay, there's a shorthand sound you use for that picture. But they're both the same thing, really. Words and pictures are the same. But that come before the watermelon? I mean, before he broke it open and ate it, he's already calling it a watermelon? Is that true?
No.
It is true. Okay. The word creates the watermelon. Okay. But how can you do that? How can you do that? That means there must have been a watermelon before that in your mind somehow. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. But that's ridiculous. When was the first watermelon? No, no such thing. No such thing. You have had watermelon in your mind since infinite beginningless time. No problem. No problem. You perceive watermelon because you offered a watermelon to someone in the past. Yeah, but when was the first watermelon? Dumb question. Impossible question. Get smart. Of course there's no first watermelon. Don't give me this chicken or egg crap. It's a dumb question. It's a dumb question. No, it's just a dumb... Of course there's always an egg before a chicken, and of course there's always a chicken to lay the egg. Of course the answer to the riddle is there's always been chickens and eggs. Okay, that's all. Yeah.
Is the word the same as the thought?
Yeah, yeah. That's what we're saying. Now, technically speaking, there's a shorthand verbalism to represent the thought. Like watermelon is not the same as green, round, red on inside. But essentially they're the same thing.
But the conceptualization.
When we say word in Madhyamika, we're talking about the thought. Yeah. And then there's a shorthand of verbalism with a semi-vowel followed by a vowel followed by a dental and another semi-vocalic R, and that's water. And that's okay. But essentially, when we say Ming Dang, Ming De, words and terms, because Ming and Da mean the same thing. Ming means name, Da means term. Term here means projection, mental image. Okay. Well, now you can debate whether there's such a thing as a Dinchi. Is there some mental image of a thing in your mind? Is it possible to have a mental image of something you haven't experienced?
Yes.
You can debate the whole thing, you know.
Buddhahood.
Well, yeah. Then the next big question is, where this thinking goes from here is, well, then when you perceive emptiness directly for the... Where did you get that dinchi? You know, where's that image come from, you know? Okay, we'll skip that. So anyway, is it possible for something to come from something else?
Ultimately, no.
I didn't say ultimately. I just said, is it possible for something to come from something else? Yeah. Does it come intrinsically from something else? But does it come from something else if you have the karma to think of it that way and it comes from something else? That's all. That's all he's saying in these two sentences, okay? Watermelons don't come from watermelon seeds intrinsically, by definition. Out there, you see? But if you have the karma, if you've given away a watermelon, then you'll have this projection of a watermelon. And it will come from watermelon seeds. And that's all the way stuff works is perfectly reasonable, he says. No problem. No problem. Because people freak out. You say the world is in your mind. You know, you're creating the watermelon seed to create the watermelon. Oh, no, it's impossible, you know. Yeah, yeah. Okay, go ahead, eat it. It's all right. You know, well, if you encourage your students to give away cake to each other, then it's reasonable you have a cake. You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So does you seeing yourself giving away watermelon make you see
Say again? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, how does it plant that seed? I think there's something big about, I think it's like gotta be, you know how they can't get car wheels in films to run the right way after all these years with George Lucas and everybody? When you show a car in a movie, the wheels still go backwards. Because you're filming on, it's the reverse, right? Whatever. But I got this theory that unless you do it to something you conceive as someone else, it's not planted properly. You see what I mean? So yeah, by giving away, you perceive coming in. You have to think about that. That's a big deal. There's some kind of big deal there about how karma's planted. Somehow it's got to be done from you to someone to perceive it coming back to you from someone. Right? How do you mean? Oh, mental karma is still like wishing you could give to someone, or, you know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah.
But what if you really achieved the, like, exchanging self and others? Or
yeah. And you thought you were just giving it to yourself. I think then you overcome. That might, I think that has something to do with overcoming impure karma. Then it becomes some kind of pure karma.
A few weeks ago.
Mm.
Attachment.
And then it perpetuates. You don't just use up the cake and get it taken away or something. Okay. Let's read together. You ready? One, two, three. Te yin te tsik sa le den ne tak pe tsu u ma la juk pa le she pa chao she su be. Okay, he's still debating every single sentence, right? He's still in debate format. So we're going to keep saying, and this is true, okay? Who wrote Six Cell? Who wrote Clear Words? Right, Master Samakirti. So in his own book, he says, if you want to understand about dependent origination, how things are projected, how watermelon seeds are still just mental images, okay? Well, I suggest you go read this other book called Entering the Middle Way, written by Okay, I'll say it again. Clear Words is his word-by-word commentary on Master Nagarjuna, Arya Nagarjuna. Entering the Middle Way is his, like, meaning clarification. So he wrote two commentaries on Master Arya Nagarjuna. Okay. People don't study Tsik so much. I think it'd be fun to study in our free time after the next three-year retreat. Okay. Okay. And so, what's he trying to prove? Let's look at the last thing he said. He said, entering the middle way goes on to demonstrate how even though watermelon seeds don't exist from their own side, they still wakes. Why? Because they're coming from your mind. You have a problem with that? No. If you do have a problem with that, prove to me that entering the middle way explains that concept. Well, he wrote this other book called Clear Words. And in Clear Words it says, if you have a trouble with the idea that things come from mental images, well, go read my other book. Okay? So that must prove that his other book talks about mental images. Who said his other book talks about mental images? Master Chandrakirti. If you don't want to believe Master Chandrakirti, what am I supposed to do with you? Okay? Prove that Master Chandrakirti talked about the idea that mental images have stuff to do with seeds. He said it himself. If you want to know about how your mind projects stuff, read my book. He's like, you know, read The Garden, read The Diamond Cutter, you know. I wrote a book about that. It's in 1295, Amazon. You know, he's like, come on, go check it out. I wrote a book on it. Okay, so if you need any proof that he wrote a book about mental projections, he said he wrote a book about mental projections. Okay, got it? Okay. So he's done beating to death, and it won't be this dry later on. Okay, sorry. But I can't, like, skip stuff. He's beat to death the idea that entering the middle way enters into the root text on wisdom by teaching the profound side of stuff. What do you think he's going to do next? Yeah, now prove that entering the middle way talks about the root text on wisdom through the Bodhisattva teachings. Now prove that. Because you call your book what? Short in the Monastery. Jukpa. Say Jukpa. I'll never forget, because in the diamond business, in Yiddish, Juk means what? Roach. So all the Hasid dealers would call me, hey, Juk. You know, so I always remember Jukpa, you know. So Jukpa means avatar, Majjhimika avatar. So in the Monastery, what are you studying? What are you up to nowadays? I'm Jukpa. I'm memorizing Jukpa. Okay? So thus, what does Jukpa mean? It gets into that other book. Well, what does that mean? It explains it. In how many ways? Two. What? Teaches the emptiness side of it. Jukpa's the emptiness side of it. And Jukpa's the Bodhisattva side of it. Prove it enters, Jukpa's into the emptiness side. We just covered all that. Okay. Well, now prove what? It enters into the Bodhisattva side of it. Okay, so here we go. Well, there's one argument. We better cut it up. Let's see. Bill Gates is frozen up, so let's just read it. Oh, here we go. I think we can cut it here. Ready? One, two, three. Gya che we njuk su la ka chik za wa she ra thek che ki ten che ma yin ba ta. Tell or tell? Let's see what he says first. Okay, yinba ta means it is so, and yinba ta means are you telling me? Okay, got it. Let's see what he says, and then we'll know whether he's going up or down. What's gyatewa? What's gyato? Who stands in gyato? Yeah, dalai. Okay, gyato means ocean. Okay, so gyato means wide lake. So gyatewa means far-reaching teachings, the Bodhisattva teachings. Okay, juk, you know juk, gosh, it enters. So la. Now let's talk about that Bodhisattva side of things. Okay, Bodhisattva side of things. Kachik. That's Kachik. Yeah, one mouth. Kachik. Okay, Kachik. Kachik Nare. Somebody says, Sawashera, which is the same as Tsashe, which means what? The root text and wisdom. Mayin is not a tenche of the Tekpa Chembo.
Oh my God.
Okay. All right. Now, some guy just came up and said, "Are you Nagarjuna's single most important work on middle way ever written? His tencha, his shastra, it is not belong to the Mahayana. It's not a Mahayana book. So is he going to say Mayimbatha, or is he going to say Mayimbatha? Yeah." You think he believes it or not?
No.
Let's see. Let me ask you this. Could it be either and still be a kachik?
Sure.
Could some idiot really believe that it's not a Mahayana text? No, not even for the sake of argument. Is it possible that someone actually believes it's not a Mahayana text? Yeah, anything's possible, right? Okay. Let's see where he goes. I think he believes it, okay? Just so I'll save time. But anyway. Let's see if it's an assertion or a claim. What did he say at the end? What's this? What did he say here? Serna. What's the ser mean? Claims. Okay. So now that's going to be the verb up here. Make the following claim.
So what determines the tone? The person that's making the claim or the person that's writing about the claim?
Oh, we say he sared. So we're prejudging him. Yeah, we're prejudging him. Okay. But you already know Kedip Dembadarge thinks the guy's a fool when he uses the word serna. The guy's already a fool. We haven't even heard what he said yet. But he used the verb claimed. Okay. Okay.
Does Kashyyyk ever say something that's not a claim?
Yeah. Yeah, Shena. You see, instead of Serna, assert. Then that's a little more, it's a less of a diss to the guy. He asserts instead of he claims. When he claims, he's already shot down. Okay. Where is he starting to teach him? Someone made him here. Okay. I'm sort of avoiding the tell, but it's okay. You ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Kap ndir tek pa che chung ki ke. Bar Dong Ni Cha Mo Nun Sun Du Dok Ba Yu Me Ki go ne min jo ba kang shi. Okay, nobody said chic, right? Nobody said flee. Okay. Yeah, cake. Or... now, what's the difference between Greater Way and Hinayana Mahayana? What's the difference? Yeah, I mean, some people say, if they talk about bodhicitta and bodhisattvas and saving all living beings, it must be Mahayana. But the Abhidhamma Kosha has lots of material about bodhisattvas in it. And it's definitely the root text for most of Hinayana, right? What's another way of distinguishing Mahayana and Hinayana?
Ultimate
goal. Sorry?
Ultimate goal.
Perception of emptiness?
No, more proofs on emptiness.
Yeah, good. More proofs on emptiness makes Mahayana, less proofs on emptiness means Hinayana. And he's going to talk about that in more detail. But in the lower half of the middle way school, the distinction between Mahayana and Hinayana is made by the varying degrees of emptiness that you see. Okay, so they assert that there are more subtle degrees of emptiness and less subtle degrees of emptiness. It's called Dagme Taraksum, the three relative degrees of selflessness, the highest of which only is emptiness. Okay? And Prasagika doesn't accept that distinction. Okay? They say, look, it's either emptiness or it's not. Okay? It's not like there's a more of an emptiness or less an emptiness. And it is true, in fact, that the emptiness that an Arya sees is 100% equal to the emptiness that all Buddhas are perceiving. No difference. Once you see emptiness once, directly, you have seen it as purely, as totally, as fully as any Buddha has ever seen it. Period. Because there's just one sheer emptiness. That's all. You're either empty or you ain't. Okay? Yeah. No. Suchness, that... Not in the Prasangika. Selflessness and emptiness are synonyms in Prasangika. In the lower schools, there can be distinctions between selflessness and emptiness. Okay? Okay? And we'll go... This whole book's about it. Okay. So he says, first of all, in this context, meaning Prasangika, we don't divide between different kinds of emptiness. I mean, it's not like there's a more subtle kind of emptiness and a higher and a less subtle kind of emptiness and lower. Hinayana people see a lower kind of emptiness and Mahayana people see a bigger kind of emptiness. Not like that. Okay, where is he going? Let's see. This is going to take some digestion. Here we go. Say, oh, sorry. We'll do it. Let's read it together first. One, two, three. Zha she sab ba dam ya che wa ni ki nan ne sab. Me chop ma top ya che we chop ne den je zo war che ne ma den be che ser na. Okay. Ser na means cheap, okay? Ser na means if you claim, okay? Big difference. So we gotta go Serna. Okay. Yeah. So. Here he spelled Sashe. Do you notice, Venerable Phil?
Yeah, yeah.
Now he went to the other spelling. Okay. He's like fooling around. Okay. I'm sorry. No, he hasn't. This is instrumental. Very tricky. This is instrumental. Okay. But anyway, those of you who care. Oh, you learn. Let's follow his reasoning now. Nagarjuna's text doesn't belong to the Mahayana. That's what he's trying to. That's how he started out. Okay. Now he's going to probably anticipate that we're going to say, "Does it talk about emptiness or not?" I mean, come on. Okay. Why would that prove it belongs to the Mahayana? Because in the lower school, that does say that there's a less subtle selflessness and a more subtle selflessness. Only the more subtle selflessness gets called emptiness, and only Mahayana people see it. I'll say it again. If you're in a lower school, which is the lower half of the middle way school, which accepts three levels of selflessness, three degrees of selflessness, one for listeners, one for self-made Buddhas, one for bodhisattvas, two lower Hinayana tracks, one Mahayana track. Only these guys see what we call emptiness. These guys see selflessness. Okay, got it?
Yeah.
So in that lower middle way school, if you say, if your book's talking about emptiness, it must be a Mahayana book. Got it? By the way, you're just learning a debate, but you're already learning the rest of the book, you see? I'll say it again. The lower half of the middle way. Are we in that?
No.
No. We don't like that school. If we did belong to that school, they say, if you're not so smart, you see selflessness. If you is real smart, you see emptiness. They like give them two different names. Actually, it's the same thing. Okay? But if I belong to that school, and I'm writing a book about emptiness, it better be a Mahayana book. Okay, got it? He says, don't give me that stuff. I know you're not in that school. He starts out that way. He makes this radical statement. He says, Aryanagarjuna's book is not Mahayana. Then he knows we're going to come back and say, well, then I talk about emptiness. He's like, don't give me that crap. I know you're not from that school. I know you're not from the school that says if you're talking about emptiness, it must be Mahayana. I know you're not from that school.
So it's
from another school that says there's a distinction between Mahayana and Hinayana, not the school.
Yeah, on that basis. I know you're not from that school. Don't give me that. So that's what this paragraph here says. Okay? We're not talking from that point of view. Got it?
Right.
You got to cook it. Okay? I know you're not in that school where someone's talking about emptiness. The book's got to be Mahayana. I know you're not from that school. Don't give me that. Got it? You okay? The other guy's telling us that. You can't tell me Nagarjuna's book is about Mahayana just because it talks about emptiness, because you ain't from the school that says that only emptiness can only be seen by Mahayana people. You're not from that school. Don't give me that. Okay, so far he's safe. He's covered. Now the second half. Moreover, the main thing that Nagarjuna's text talks about, if you had to take those two choices, does it talk about bodhisattva-sta or does it talk about emptiness-sta? Well, which one?
Emptiness-sta.
It talks about emptiness-sta. Therefore, it's not a Mahayana book.
Okay.
Got it?
Yeah.
Okay. There's two sides of the teaching. What? Profound, emptiness side. Then there's the bodhisattva part of the teaching. Now, which is the main subject matter in Nagarjuna's book?
The profound.
Profound side. Therefore,
the
wide-reaching, the far-reaching side, the bodhisattva side, is not the main subject matter in his book, is it?
No.
You have to say, right, it's not. So it's not a Mahayana book? Okay, that's what he's saying. No, it makes sense, because it doesn't explicitly talk about the bodhisattva stuff. It's all about emptiness. Arya Nagarjuna's book is, it's like this long thing of people fighting about emptiness. He doesn't talk about bodhicitta, he doesn't talk about bodhisattva activities. He doesn't talk about it. So his book's not Mahayana. Okay? I mean, that's how most people think of what Mahayana means, right? That's not an unreasonable statement. It's not so far, it's not so bad. Okay? Let's see where we go. By the way, I'll just pull something out, just for those of you being stubborn. Read this paragraph in English. The root text on wisdom does present the profound side of the teachings, but does not go further to elucidate the specific features of the greater way, the far-reaching side of the teachings. What's that file? Gomba Rabsal. Who wrote it? Jetsu Kapa, we translated it in the first term. You're stuck with it. I think the guy's got a real strong case. There's Jetsu Kapa saying the same thing. He doesn't talk about the bodhisattva side of things. And you're not from a school that says, if you talk about emptiness, you're Mahayana. Got it? So you're in a corner. The guy's good. The guy's good. Give him some credit. Okay. Who's talking? I didn't use Ellie's indent. See? See? Before I was indented. Now I'm not indented. So who's talking? We're defending. Kiduptam Dagi. We're defending now. We're answering now. The guy said what? He made this radical statement. What did he say? The greatest Mahayana book ever written is not Mahayana. I mean, basically, that's the shtick, okay? Why? It doesn't talk about Bodhisattva stuff. And we said, but it is, in fact, like the most amazing Mahayana book. Why? Because it presents emptiness in an infinite variety of ways. In an infinite variety of ways. Okay? First of all. Secondly, it is too a Mahayana book. Why? Because it presents emptiness like in 1,000 different ways. And you only do that when you're trying to attract a bodhisattva. Get it? In this school, that's what counts. In this school, that's what counts. What makes a bodhisattva? A bleeding heart? Like gives away their last piece of cake? You know? No, I mean, you know, pets animals all the time. No. Loves to debate emptiness in 1,000 different ways. So if you got a book that's like presenting emptiness in 1,000 different ways, it must have been written for bodhisattvas. Don't go tell him it's not Mahayana. Of course it's Mahayana. What's he saying? It's a very radical statement. What makes this book Mahayana? Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Yeah. The number of different twists you can give to the... It's Bogdimba. How many twists can you give to this argument that things don't start? How many twists can you give to it? When do the students get start saying, when are we going to get out of Bogdimba? When are we going to move on to something else in the stupid Bogdimba class? Why do we need the 14th proof for why the atom didn't start this other thing, you know? I mean, then those people aren't Mahayana. You see, Mahayana, big capacity. Mahayana. They want you, give me another one. You know, give me another one. You know, tell me why the cancer cell couldn't have touched my stomach. You know, tell me why the virus that ran through Diamond Mountain couldn't have run through Diamond Mountain. Because it couldn't have touched anybody. You see? You know, tell me about that again. And then that person is a bodhisattva. That's radical. You never heard of that, you see? This is a very radical place we're at. He's saying, that's what makes a bodhisattva. He cares, she cares to hear about emptiness 1,000 different ways, you see? So don't go telling me the book's not Mahayana. That's what makes a book Mahayana. Uniquely. Okay? Got it? Yeah.
Because, is that because automatically if you understand emptiness, you would have to be kind, for example?
Well, that's always, I think that's a very profound statement he made. Got it? Yeah. You'd have to be an incredibly kind person to want to hear 1,000 reasons why a virus, you know. Why? Why would you make that leap? Why would you say they have to be incredibly kind if they care about the stupid Bogdimba class? Why? Because they're dying to really help people. They want to know really how to help people. You know, I tried X medicine. I tried X herbal treatments. I tried X yoga exercises. And I couldn't really help people. They're still getting old. They're still getting hurt. Still, people still dying, you know. Tell me again about this worldview thing. If it's something that can really help people, I want to know more. I want to know 1,000 ways how that works. You see what I mean? Then that person's a real bodhisattva. Because they're not satisfied. They didn't see people getting helped yet. So they want to know, is there something else I can do? You see what I mean? Yeah, so Debbie Bai said that. Yeah. There's that too. I mean, there's people like that.
Well, without a
yeah. There's people like with some kind of...
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Because if you really aren't getting to it so deeply and you understand it, you can feel interested to be kind.
Oh, I see. That's also true. The opposite is also true. She's just saying also that the more you understand worldview, the more you're forced to be kind. Yeah, yeah. But I understand what you mean. There are people who, in a very shallow, intellectual, almost for their own profit sometimes... In a what do you call it, scholastic environment, might just throw out more proofs for this thing, and yeah, that's possible.
Even among like Dharma practitioners, like it seems like some people come in to Dharma because like they get this sense of disgust with the world or recognition that things don't work, but some like just hear emptiness. They're like, and why is that?
Oh, I would say this. You need intense good karma to even hear the word emptiness in your lifetime. You know, to hear the word emptiness once in your lifetime, you need more good karma than every other good karma in the world, you know. So just the people who come in and hear the word emptiness and say, I want to know more about that, they're already. In this book, they say they get, if you get chills up your spine when you hear the word emptiness, you're sitting in the right place, you know. Like, no, if this book starts out like that. Somewhere in this book it starts out like that. So that's all.
So it has to do with the amount of merit it
takes. Intense good karma to want to know about emptiness. Yeah. Yeah. I'll leave you with that. That's powerful. It's 7:30. It's really powerful. Did you?
I was wondering if you could translate it as a special class of practitioner.
You could say that. It says in Tibetan, Tekchen Ki Rikchen. Rikchen means who belong to that like unique family. Rikipu, Kulaputra, in Sanskrit, in the Heart Sutra, Kulaputra. Kula means noble family, of high lineage. In a caste way sometimes, but here it means in a kindness way. You know, you are of high family because you're in that unique group of people who really want to save other people. So we call Kulaputra in the Heart Sutra. Rikipu. Yeah. Noble family. You want to try that? Let me see. That you can do that too. Who belong to that. Oh, okay. I don't mind that.
You can just say family
then. It's got to be special or something. You could be of a lousy family too.
Yeah, a special family, but no people.
Could you say
family's
group?
Always a people.
Yeah, could you say group?
Still class is better than group. It's group.
I'm going to leave it family because I like the feeling of family too. Yes, I think. Let me see how it smells next week when we get there. Oh, and he's going to go in more into that next week, okay? So we'll do a... You can take that off if you want, by the way. You can take the file off if you want. Pukin Joshima Gotam Rira Dingshin Nende Jampani Sangha Shindu Mente. nanda shinna chipasho idam guru rana mandala kam niyatayami dikhe vokhan sanam yeshe chodoshin sanam yeshe nechuhe dhampa kuni topasho. Chance we might have Geshe Lothar here this weekend. So we don't know yet, but working on it.
What can we do?
I'll let you know on... everything's taken care of. If he has time, he'll come. But... yeah, teach would be okay. But if he does come, we got to do it right. Okay, which means like, you know, comfortable, pampered. Pampered nicely. So Rebecca's working on that. If you have any ideas, talk to her. But you should pamper. If a lama comes and if you can get him here, then you have to pamper them. Right? We got pampered. We get pampered every day, and I want to thank you for that. I mean, amazing meals. Today we had Debbie Bies and who was the other Noki? Oh, Susan McKenna. And they just pamper us, you know. And I want to thank you for that. I mean, no complaints. I met one of my lamas last week. And I said, one thing they do right, like they really pamper us, you know. And I have to thank you for that. You really do a good job on that. I'm not just hinting, okay? I already got my cake and everything. So. See you next week. Okay.